Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. We have members from the Colorado Legislature's Democratic Latino Caucus joining us in our studio on the south side of Alamosa. They've been on a tour of Alamosa with State Representative Matthew Martinez. Joining us is Representative Martinez. Good to see you again, Mateo.
Good to see you, Chris. Thanks
Senadora for having us. Julie Gonzalez from Denver is with us.
Hola, hola.
¿Cómo está?
Yo bien, ¿y usted?
Muy bien, gracias. And Representative Mandy Lindsay from Aurora.
Yes, hello.
Pleasure to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet all of you. Thank you. Senadora Gonzalez, I've seen a little bit here and there because she's very proficient on social media.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I try.
Really, I like what you do there. I like what you do there. Comes across really well. I want to ask you, when was the last time both of you, Representative Lindsay, Senator Gonzalez, when was the last time you were in the San Luis Valley Alamosa?
So it would have been right before the pandemic, spending time here in Alamosa, and then also my family goes back several generations, just on the other side of the mountain.
South over. Texas.
Well, in Gardner, actually, on my mom's side.
Walsenburg.
Gardner and Walsenburg.
We're from Oak County, really.
So I've spent a lot of time just outside of the valley, just on the other side.
Yeah, Cucharra is really nice. That's a
beautiful,
nice, very beautiful,
beautiful
valley.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Representative Lindsay, last time we've seen you here.
I was here last summer with the Capital Development Committee,
nice.
Touring Adams State. Looking at the facilities there, they'd made a request on their IT building. We were there to check it out and found that it was in need of some serious improvement and went back up to the Capitol and did something about it. So
yeah, we appreciate both of you coming down. We like to have you come down to the Valley and visit us and get to know what we do and what we're about. Right, Representative Martinez?
Absolutely.
I got to know Representative Martinez. He does a really great job at Adams State, has been working in military affairs, working with the Prison Correspondence Program, which is one of Colorado's, one of the nation's best prison correspondence programs. Representative Martinez, tell us about it.
Sure. So this is a program that we restarted up in about 2017, and we really wanted to outreach all the way across the nation. And so we did that. We serve county facilities, state facilities, federal, military. And, you know, I think that was a really big success, and I'm glad to see that they're still continuing that success.
And you had an interesting legislation last session, your first session in the Colorado legislature, where you got a bill through that gave credit for time served for an inmate working toward a diploma, college degree, or certificate. Yeah.
Yes, I did. And actually the Senadora and I both co-primed that, and we got it done. And that had been something that we had actually talked about a few years before I stepped in the legislature, and finally glad to see that really come into fruition and go into effect.
Yeah. You know, earlier I was at the Rio Grande Water Conservation District this week earlier, and Amber Pacheco told me that you guys were all coming by and you were going to spend some time with her learning about the Rio Grande Water Conservation District, all the work they're doing to try to recover the upper Rio Grande, the two aquifers of the valley. What was your takeaways from that conversation you had earlier today with Amber, with the Rio Grande Conservation District, Senator?
Thank you. I'll just start by saying that, you know, unlike Representative Martinez and Representative Lindsay, I don't serve on the Ag and Natural Resources Committees. And so for me, I am about to enter my sixth year in the legislature, and I've never received as in-depth a conversation, an education, crash course in the efforts that the Valley is taking proactively, intentionally, rooted in community to preserve and protect the water and, you know, via the conservation district and all of these sub-districts. Fascinating for me as someone who, you know, I live two blocks north of the Bronco Stadium. You know what I mean? I represent the north side of Denver.
Right.
But yet understanding and recognizing the ways that this conversation around water impacts all of us, but to be able to receive that level of education and perspective, incredibly helpful for me as, you know, we gear up for this next legislative session.
And I would say that in itself was worth the trip to have you come down here to get that type of education, Representative Lindsay.
Well, I'm on the Agriculture, Water and Natural Resources Committee, which is kind of a interesting place for me, considering I do represent Aurora, which is just right on the city limits with Denver. Obviously, people there drink water, they eat food, it's grown, so these issues do impact all of us. And I've spent my time on the Agriculture Committee really trying to have this crash course in water policy, which is so complicated. And so I feel like I have a handle on something, and then I come to another session, and I'm like, well, I basically know nothing. So yeah. It was wonderful to get even more information. And as I'm learning, like, you kind of get the handle on one particular river basin and kind of the issues there, and then you go to a different part of our state and it's different, and there's so much information that is just particular to this part of our you know, Colorado, and man, am I thankful for the education.
Well, when you think too of the Rio Grande Compact, Representative Martinez, and the water the state of Colorado owes downstream to the states of New Mexico, to the states of Texas. When you went into the Colorado legislature, Representative, what was your efforts to make sure your colleagues in the houses, in the representative, your colleagues in the Senate that you work with, could start to understand some of the critical issues in the valley?
Sure, that's a great question. And I think it's really just education and talking. Anytime that conversation comes up about growth and development, you know, always bringing up that conversation, well, what about the water? How are you guys going to be able to sustain this population? And then being able to provide the stories that we have down here and saying, like, this is why it's so critical and this is why I continue to bring it up. Because, you know, we don't have the water down here to be able to sustain, you know, for anybody else. This is our water and we're not going to let it go away lightly. And so I think, you know, being able to educate everybody in that fashion is something that I've taken on, and being able to, you know, every day at the well, you know, when we have some of these issues coming up, is saying, this is why it's important to our neck of the woods, and this is why you need to know about it.
Yeah. You know, U.S. Ambassador Ken Salazar said a couple years ago, when the idea of exporting water to the Front Range to Douglas County, which is still an active conversation, he said, over my dead body. And I think that is very much the sentiment of irrigators, Valley Natives. And I do think, though, that that topic of conversation of water, how does the Front Range secure enough water for its communities? Douglas County has made a very passionate argument about that, and that argument is going to continue. And I wonder, and I'm not asking you to take a position on water exportation or Douglas County. That's going to be a conversation I'm sure you're going to continue to hear about. But I do wonder about the Front Range versus the San Luis Valley, the Front Range versus the lower eastern plains of Colorado, and how you see those population centers, because the argument is the population centers is really what needs the attention, not places like the Valley that have low population. How do you see that issue between Front Range, rural markets, whether it's water, whether it's other topics, Representative Lindsay?
Well, I'll say that I think a lot of people in Aurora, for instance, I think they turn on their taps and water comes out, and that's really the most that they think about it. I think we're hearing on the news, you know, drought, western water issues, that people are starting to get, it's becoming more of like the main conversation, mainstream conversation. But I think that people really actually don't know a lot about it, don't think a lot about it, including myself, really, before I'm on this committee. And so I've taken every opportunity to go on tours, to go to conferences and summits so that I'm learning about these things. And I do think it makes me a better legislator, even though I do not represent the Valley. I do not represent a rural area, but I have a deep interest in understanding those issues from a statewide perspective, and not only thinking about Aurora, which we do have population issues, water. We need to make sure that when we do turn on the tap that there is water. But I think that that's what that education piece can be so key in trying to figure those things out. People, I think they don't even know what they don't know about water.
Yeah. It's one of those things, you know, I was living in the state of California, and we went through power blackouts because of how Enron Energy at the time in Texas was manipulating markets, and California ended up going through blackouts. And I remember that period of time because you wake up in the morning, mm-hmm. and the lights don't come on, and you're wondering, what the heck, what's going on, right? And then you start to figure out how power works, how it gets sold, and you're starting to get to that point where water is also a commodity. It gets sold, gets traded. And Senator, my takeaway from just watching you a little bit in your career, you're a representative, a senator of the people. You seem to really emphasize your people, people that you represent. Now, how do you see urban, Front Range, rural conversation like this? Where does your mind go to?
Thank you for the question. I really do appreciate it. I'll start by saying that I represent, the heart of Denver. Like I said, I live two blocks north of the Broncos Stadium, but I also grew up on a ranch. My family has deep roots here in Southern Colorado. And a lot of times folks may make an assumption and say, she don't know nothing about nothing. Mm. But I can understand and respect that what may be true in Denver is not necessarily always true in Alamosa, in Aurora, in communities across that state, and that is okay. One of the things that I recognize is that there can be multiple truths, but how we move forward in respecting those truths, but then still also trying to chart a path that respects everybody's perspective and then says, and here's how we will proceed then, given those realities as a state, that is our work within the legislature. What a joy to be able to learn as part of the Latino Caucus and intentionally go two different communities, right? It's such a joy to be able this year to visit Representative Lindsay's district in Aurora and learn about all of the different jurisdictional issues that we may think, well, dude, you're right there in Denver and Aurora. And I learned so much just by being able to visit her community and listen to the folks talk about her issues or issues in her community. And then to do the same today here with Representative Martinez and to get an incredibly different perspective, right? I think that is our work, is to listen to our communities, but then also to listen to each other, to then figure out for this upcoming legislative session, for the bills that we run, for the issues that we care about, how do we take all of those different perspectives into account and then say, and here's, given all of that, here's the path forward.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You would have been my senator when I lived in Denver and worked at the Denver Post. I was at 26th and Vrain around Sloan's Lake. You would have been my senator there.
Honorary. Here we go. There
you
go.
You know, we're coming up to the 2024 legislative session. Representative Martinez, what are the topics for you going into that session that you're thinking about, that you're focused on, that you're thinking of even presenting a bill around?
Sure, that's a great question. So throughout my time since I've been at a session, you know, really working with my constituents, talking with people, the first one that comes up that really came out of a couple different groups here in the Valley was wanting to restart the Regional Tourism Act. But they had a caveat to that saying, why don't we make it this time for rural-specific projects and rural-specific areas, to making sure that we can being able to continue to get the funding and to continue to grow the tourism base that we want to have, but making sure that other people aren't going to be able to commandeer these projects. So that's something that I've been working on and I think is going to be really impactful, not only just for the Valley, but also other rural areas in the state.
So what is that, just really quickly, what does that look like to you when you think or say regional tax? What comes to my mind is a sales tax that would get collected in each of the six counties of the San Luis Valley that somehow gets distributed. That's what came to my mind. I don't know if that's what you're thinking.
So the original Regional Tourism Act was, they had some funds set aside, grant funding set aside from the state to being able to allot to different projects. Now, the main project that they were looking for never came into fruition, and it just kind of got piecemealed after that. So I think going into this approach is saying, like, we're going to set aside, say, $6 million, and then we're going to designate the areas for specific populations, for different growth areas for that tourism, and to be able to say, if you meet these criteria, you can apply for this grant funding, and then that way the state's really intentional on where we want to develop the tourism, in those areas. And again, making sure that other projects don't commandeer these smaller projects where, say, $500,000 may go, you know, absolutely above and beyond of where they wanted to, and making sure, like, some of these bigger, like, well, we just want $6 million for $6 million.
I appreciate that explanation, that extra context, because my mind was going a little bit different, and that's not what you were thinking. So I appreciate the follow-up on that. Senator Gonzalez, what are you thinking of as you go into 2024? And it's a big year, 2024. I personally am going to bypass it and go into 2025. That's just me. I'll tell you how you do that if you want off air, but I'm going 20 to 2025. 23 to 20, I skipped 2024, but Senator Gonzalez.
You know, I really am excited this upcoming legislative session to tackle the issues of safety and housing and safety and housing. I serve as the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I'm also on our local government and housing committee. And, you know, what was fascinating here today was to hear about many of the different, the unique and special ways that Alamosa is tackling those issues around housing security, around substance misuse, around mental health and behavioral health, and then also some of the challenges, right, within the criminal justice system. Those are issues that I think for a long time folks thought were only big town issues, right, that they weren't rural community issues. But I think we all are recognizing that more and more all of those issues are impacting all of us as a state. And so I'm really excited to continue working on policy this upcoming session to ensure that when folks are leaving the criminal justice system, that they're actually set up for success so that we don't see them coming back to the purview of the Department of Corrections, you know, because we have such a high recidivism rate in the state. So how can we better support folks to get it right the first time? I'm also continuing to work on policies to support tenants and to help ensure that, you know, people have secure and stable and affordable housing.
Yeah, that is probably one of the top two topics, housing in the state of Colorado. I know it is here in Alamosa, in the city and the county, both in across the San Luis Valley. They did a really interesting study that identified the housing shortage and then started to line up projects and funding, and they seem to be doing a really good job of tackling that housing shortage in the valley. We had a conversation just recently with the city of Alamosa and all their projects coming through. What do you see in Representative Martinez when you look at the housing puzzle locally?
Sure. You know, I think that piece that Alamosa has figured out and the grant funding that they were able to secure this year and dedicating it solely for that, I think it's absolutely amazing. And what I love about that, nobody forced them to do this. This is something that Alamosa decided, this is a problem. We need to fix this. How can we get to this solution to being able to do right by our people? And so I absolutely commend the city of Alamosa by being able to put that kind of dollar investment into this and really putting a coordinated effort to making sure that they're addressing the affordable housing needs here in the San Luis Valley.
Well, and I, you know, you were at the Rio Grande Water Conservation District, and so you probably would have went right by the housing project they're putting there on Airport Road and understanding that campus and how and why they put that there. Again, that's a really interesting project. Representative Lindsay, when you look at 2024 and you think of Aurora, Northwest Aurora, what are you thinking you're focused on?
I share Senator Gonzalez, her concern about housing. It's obviously top of mind in my community as well. I want to build on some of the things I did last session that were tenant protections. My community has like a higher percentage of renters than maybe other communities. And so while I want affordable housing on all levels for people to buy, to rent, and then just stable housing where people have a warm place to sleep at night, I want to keep people in houses. And so working on things in the eviction space of just trying to make that a process that is just and equitable with the with the intention of, you know, if someone is evicted, sometimes that's how they become homeless. And mm-hmm. So I'm working on a bill that will waive an eviction fee. Like when you're filing your response in an eviction case, you are required to pay a fee. And this usually when you're in an eviction situation, like funds are tight. And so instead of going through all this admin stuff about getting waivers, of just streamlining this process, I'm really excited about that one. I also have one that's dealing with driver's education for like licensure for kids under 18. I have four kids. I've taught kids how to drive. Uh-huh. It's been it's very complex. It's very difficult. The steps, all these different, you know, it changes every 6 months. And so this will be a bill that will just simplify that process so that we can get young drivers educated, get them licensed, and then get them on the streets safely.
Interesting.
And so
interesting.
Very excited about that.
I have to keep an eye on that particular bill. There's that's all we. I just had my daughter go through all of that, and to what you're saying, you got to follow. It takes you a while to follow along, and then to find someone that can do that. But it'll be an interesting bill. Look forward to seeing that. I want to ask you. You're in the land of 4-day school weeks. Every school week in the San Luis Valley, every school district in the San Luis Valley is on a 4-day school week. City of Alamosa went to a 4-day work week. I want to just get your thoughts on that trend. I'll start with Representative Martinez. You live here, but then you're in Denver, you're in the legislature, and I don't know, in my conversations with Senator Simpson in the past, the 4-day week is not something that's on anyone's radar. But here, it's a fast trend. Across Colorado and all rural, more than half the school districts in the state of Colorado are on a 4-day week. And I don't know if it is an advantage, disadvantage to any of that. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a complex problem. And, you know, you look at, you know, where this started, you know, about 10 years ago when the first school district started moving that way. And I think you can look at a bunch of different factors on why a lot of these school districts had made that decision. I guess I'm confident that, with like in Alamosa, for example, when they also moved into a 4-day week and then being able to, you know, coincide with the school districts and making sure parents and family members are able to care for their kids in the K-12 system, I think is really beneficial. Though I would say we need to look at the bigger picture as well, too. Like how, you know, look at some data, look at some metrics and being able to say, is this beneficial to our students and being able to really provide them the education that they need? And being able to get that back to the school boards and being able to have a comprehensive report and saying, is this effective or is it not? Are we seeing upward success from our students in this system or are we not? And being able to make decisions based off of that, you know, after we've done some research and making the best decision possible and giving those that information to the school board so that they can make the best decision possible for those districts to really help out with student success.
Yeah, it's an interesting trend. And, you know, again, I have a daughter that's been going through that and I'm kind of watching and I just wonder what the future looks like when you grow up in a 4-day setting. If the school district that your kids go to came and said, we're going to 4 days, what would be your reaction as a parent, Representative Lindsay?
We've gone through this. We've gone through school days where they would start late on a Wednesday and leave early on a Friday. Mm-hmm. And as parents trying to work and figure that out, it was always just a super hassle. So if you're going to have kids in a 4-day work week or school week, I do think it's so helpful that you also have the parents on a 4-day work week, because that's a huge challenge for parents, is that childcare piece. Or, you know, if you're not doing childcare and kids are home an extra day without parents and being squirrely. You know, I don't know the impacts. I'm interested to see what kind of data, if it's having impacts on the actual education factor. I think there's a lot of movement maybe younger generations or post-pandemic where people are reevaluating our work weeks in general. And I'm kind of heading on the edge of a 4-day work week, if I can get it all done in the 4 days. Because our weekends, you know, you've got a day for cleaning, a day for going to birthday parties, and then you want a day to just be watching Netflix. So, I mean, and that's a little glib on this issue, but I look at it first from the child care issue. It's so tough when your kids are not in school and you're at work.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the more fascinating conversations that's happening in rural markets, not just in Colorado, but across the nation. You see this trend. keeping up and people are adopting to it, and it brings forward the four-day work week, which the city of Alamosa moved to. Very interesting. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. This is the Valley Pod. We're talking to the Colorado Democratic Latino Caucus. We'll be right back.
The Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events, putting all the Valley events in one place. To submit your event to the Valley Calendar, go to alamosacitizen.com. Click on the Valley Calendar link and fill out the online form. Or you can send an email to info@alamosacitizen.com with your event information. It's the Valley Calendar on alamosacitizen.com. All the Valley events in one place.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to the Colorado Latino Caucus. We're talking to Senadora Gonzalez. She represents Denver. She would have been my senator when I worked and lived in Denver for a period of decades. We're talking to Representative Lindsay. She's in Aurora. There's a lot of things going on in Aurora, between Aurora and Denver, and Aurora wanting to be the king city of the metro area, not the city and county of Denver. I don't know if the two of you ever have that conversation, Denver-Aurora, but I know that conversation is happening and historically happens in the metro area, yeah?
Why are we trying to pick a fight, man? We all get along. We got to ride back 4 hours together.
But I did want to get your thoughts, Senator Gonzalez, on the four-day school week question, because I do think at some point the legislature may want to have a conversation around that when you think about funding, when you think about families and childcare is a huge topic in Colorado, affordable childcare. Where are you when you think of this trend? See what's happening there.
My mom was, my mom got pregnant, dropped out of high school, had two kids, and education transformed her life. She went, got her GED. She went, came to Adams State, got her degree, became a teacher. My mom taught me.
I did not know your mother went to Adams State. Mm-hmm. Tell us her name.
Gloria Gonzalez.
Thank you.
And she instilled in me this idea that that education is transformational. But when we as a state so fundamentally disinvest in our children, right? When we are at the bottom of the barrel or near the bottom of the barrel at every national statistics, no wonder school districts like here in the Valley and across the state, I think it's like, what, we're getting up to two-thirds of the school districts across the state who are having to make this false choice, I would say, between keeping the lights on or adding a fifth day of instruction. That's a false choice, but it is a consequence of Tabor. It is a consequence of the way that we have consistently underfunded education in this state for far too long. I think this upcoming legislative session, a huge point of contention is going to be, do we finally, for once and for all, end the budget stabilization factor? But how do we do that without then pitting K-12 education against higher education? You know what I'm saying? And so that's going to be the work ahead. And some of the conversations that we had here in the Valley today, I think will inform all of the Latino caucus's perspectives in this upcoming session, because for so many of us within the Latino caucus, education was the factor that made it possible for us to succeed, to serve our communities here at the Capitol and here in community as well. So that's going to be a huge fight. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. I agree with you. Education is the single common denominator of where people can succeed. Mm-hmm. Get education. Doesn't matter what zip code you come from. She's a Yale graduate.
I am. Just because my mom taught me in second grade, you know?
Yeah.
And she was an out-of-state grad. That's why.
No, education is the great equalizer in society, so I appreciate that conversation. Look forward to seeing when the state legislature has it. I want to ask you about power generation, power transmission, renewable solar generation. You heard about irrigated ag, the reduction of irrigated ag, retiring of groundwater wells, fallowing of fields, permanent retirement of wells that will leave fields permanently fallowed. And one of the solutions that Senator Simpson is pushing, Representative Martinez, is using those fallowed fields to grow the valley's solar footprint to help the state of Colorado have enough renewable solar to go around the problem. No way to move that power out of the valley. The transmission system of the state does not allow it. It's an issue the Colorado Public Utilities Commission has taken up. Representative Martinez, do you see this topic moving at all, 2024, 2025, when you look ahead? Because you know that is one of the keys, one of the biggest threats to the valley is the lack of transmission, the inability then to create another industry, solar regeneration.
Sure, you know, and I learned a lot more about the energy industry this year serving on the Joint Select Commission for Rising Rate Increases than I ever thought that I would know. And based off of that, I think that, you know, that conversation, or if you would have asked me that before this, I probably would have said this is a, you know, 4 or 5 year ordeal at least. Now seeing, you know, really what struggles that they're going through and what their concerns are, I think the conversation is happening now, and it's going to continue to happen within the next couple of years, just because they need energy. They need it to be able to get it out to where they need to and really being able to serve their customer base. And I'll be honest, I didn't really get a definitive yes, we're doing this and we're 100% solid. Like, there were questions on how we're going to be able to provide that energy to our customer base. And I've been saying this for years, the valley to get solar energy, yes, absolutely. I think that it's made sense, you know, years ago, it makes sense today, and it will make sense in the next 20 years. So to being able to build out the transmission line, get the infrastructure here, and being able to really change that market and really what the valley can provide for the state of Colorado, I think is really critical. And I think it's we're primed. We're absolutely primed to being able to deliver.
Yeah, well, we have the better sun. Our sun rays are better here, and the scientists will tell you that, than sun rays elsewhere because of where we are. Do you remember the Marshall Fire 2021 in Boulder?
Yes.
The San Luis Valley had its power cut during the Marshall Fire because it couldn't move power through the transmission system of Colorado. One of the critical issues, we lose power in an isolated area. We go days without semis coming through. We go... Right?
Yeah.
We're in an area where there is no recovery because we're so isolated. That's why it's an important issue for us. I want to ask you how your tour went today, Senator Gonzalez. You went to Adams State, you were at the Rio Grande Conservation District, you had other one-on-ones with other individuals in town. What were your takeaways on the day as a whole, Senator?
I am just so grateful that Representative Martinez helped lead this, inviting members of the Latino Caucus to learn and to hear from subject matter experts, from community members, from faculty, and from the Adams State Administration. What a joy and a privilege to be able to listen and learn from those folks. I feel like I have such a better understanding now, so that when we have these fights in the legislature, Matt, no, I'm kidding, that we know exactly, you know, that is rooted in both, you know, the policy things that we have learned, but also in the relationships with community members, nonprofit leaders, mental health experts, educators who are so deeply passionate about the issues facing the valley and facing the state of Colorado as a whole.
Representative Lindsay, what was your favorite part of today's agenda, today's tour? And you don't have to say the Valley Pod.
Hey. Well, next to the Valley Pod, my second most favorite stop today, we went to the barn for lunch, which I was really excited to go because we were driving on the road and I saw this beautiful place to the left and I was like, oh, look at that place. And then we turned into the parking lot. So I was thrilled. And mostly because I loved seeing community members, local electeds coming together and having the opportunity to talk to us. Like, we came here to listen. I get to travel a fair bit with the Capital Development Committee, and traveling to a place, to a room, to talk to people, seeing the situation on the ground is so much more helpful than just reading about a bill or an issue. And so I've really come to love that kind of interaction, because sometimes you just, you can't duplicate it. Even, you know, Rep Martinez is a wonderful representative and he serves his people very well in the Capitol and translates the issues to it. But you get additional context when you're in a room with people, hearing their stories. And so I'm so grateful for any opportunity that comes with that. I think it was lovely too. My grandmother is from the Valley, Antonito, Lajara, Alamosa. And so I also am just thrilled to have any opportunity to be down here and connecting even a teensy weensy bit with my roots. I think I'm in my mid-40s now and, you know, digging into genealogy and all that kind of stuff. And it's taken a new meaning in my life. And so being able to be in a community of folks that, you know, my family has spent generations living here too, just makes me feel more connected on a personal level, but obviously practically, certainly makes me a better legislator.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. And I mean, it's amazing how many roots people have back to the Valley. Mm-hmm. Your mother, your grandmother, because we live in the oldest part of Colorado. And we live in one of the most historic civilization areas in the United States, going back 10, 15,000 years when civilization started to show up here. Right, Representative Martinez?
Absolutely, yes. You know, for me, being able to trace my roots back, you know, I also got into genealogy after my grandfather passed away a couple years ago. And, you know, finding out, you know, that my family had been here, you know, really since before the 1700s, since before the United States was the United States, I think it's just amazing. And being able to take that, those stories and those experiences and being able to educate everybody else, I think has been really amazing. And, you know, I want to really thank the Latino Caucus for coming down and spending some time here. You know, it's been my honor and privilege to host them and really educate them and being able to talk about the issues that we face and our successes, the areas that we need help in, and really giving a better understanding of what makes us us. And where Colorado continues to grow and thrive and where it started and really seeing, you know, that branch out, I think has been a really good experience. And I hope they had a great experience as well.
Yeah, what makes us us is a really good way to phrase that. And we really appreciate you bringing them by the South Side of Alamosa, coming into the Valley Pod studio. Senadora Gonzalez, it's a pleasure to meet you. Representative Lindsay, Representative Martinez. We have another member of the Colorado Latino Democratic Caucus that's with us. He's too busy hanging out on the couch, didn't want to join the conversation, but we'll talk to him next time. Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. See you around the Valley.
Thanks, Chris.
Hi, I'm Marty Jones, host of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. Join us every other Wednesday as we talk to outdoor enthusiasts, wildlife experts, recreationists, lovers of the outdoors, and people who spend their days and their lives outside. On the Outdoor Citizen, we talk all things outside and outdoors, provide you with the latest data and measurements for water and weather, give you upcoming outdoor events, and keep you up to date on the latest news. The Outdoor Citizen is brought to you by the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, enjoy the out of doors.